Okay, the topic we're going to talk about tonight is Inyan of Simcha, that how a person, a Jew, should reach happiness and how to acquire happiness and how to keep staying happy. That to acquire happiness is not only the only thing a person should aim for, but how to stay happy and how to be happy every day of your life. People think that being happy is a good idea. The Torah tells us that to be happy is a chiyuv, is an obligation. Where do we see in the Torah that you have to be happy? The pasuk tells us, "Tachat asher lo avata et Hashem Elokecha besimcha betov levav." Parashat Kitavo, the Torah tells us that all the rebukes, all the curses that came to Klal Israel, 98 curses came to Klal Israel, and the Torah tells us there's only one reason for it. The Torah only gives one reason for all these curses that came to us. Only because you did not worship Hashem with happiness. It's the only thing. The Torah doesn't say that the reason all these things happened to you is because you didn't keep mitzvot. The Torah doesn't tell us that the reason all this mess that happened to Klal Israel was because of we didn't daven or we didn't fast or nothing. The Torah tells us the only reason all this happened to you תחד אשר לא עבדת את השם אלוקיך בשמחה בטוב לבב. Because you did not worship Hashem בשמחה. It's the only thing. It's the only thing the Torah says. What is this simcha? What is it? How do you acquire simcha that is so important? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard to be happy and to enjoy life? The Sefer Kuzari says that sheze chiyuv chamur meod, to be happy is one of the obligations that is very restrict to do. And also he says that to acquire that also is very complicated. We know that the doctors say today that one of the big problems with people's health is lack of simcha. We also know that people that they have money, people that they win raffle tickets, they have the rate of suicide more than anybody else. And we also know that January 1st is the biggest day for suicide. And that's the happiest day in the calendar. Right? For the rest of the world, January 1st is the day that everybody should be happy. But the statistics show people on January 1st have the biggest rate of suicide. And therefore, it has to be something in the Indian of Simcha that you are missing. There's something there that is not about having a good time, it's not about getting drunk, and it's not about playing cards, and it's not about going to vacations, and it's not about having money. What is it that this simcha, this happiness, is so hard to get? And we also have to understand the nature of a human being is to be happy. Hashem created us to be happy. Not to be happy is against our nature. And people that they fall into depression, they're going against their nature. How do we know that? You know, when you have a child, get a small child cries. How could you make a child quiet? When you sing to them. When you sing to a child, they become quiet right away. Why? Because when the baby was in Shamayim, they were connected to joy and simcha, and when they came to this world, right? They got involved with all the shtuyot, and now, finally, when they start crying, that cry is a sign of not being happy and sad. When you start singing to them, they connect to their original teva, original nature, and they become happy right away. And this is what human beings are supposed to be. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us, and He wanted us to be happy, and He wants us to be happy. But what's lacking? The Rav Avigdor Miller, that's all, he has a very interesting twist, which is so true, and it's unbelievable if you think about it, is something that a lot of us are lacking, and because of that, we are in lack of being happy and enjoy life. It says, it brings a lot of proof. It says, one of the things that we are lacking is Akarat Atov. What's Akarat Atov? Akarat Atov is a sense of gratitude. When somebody does not appreciate things that happens to them, they have a lack, they are not the simcha, they are not happy. And it says, how do you get this idea of appreciation? So one of the things it says Ayin Tova. Ayin Tova is the translation of Ayin Tova is to have a good eye. But what's good eye means? So it says, being from the Rambam, that Ayin Tova means that everything that you see, you look at the good side of it. You never look at the negative side of it. Everything in life. And therefore it says, if you look at the Pirkei Avot tells us, Kol mi sheyesh bo gimel devarim alalu u'mitalmidav shel Avraham Avinu. The Torah tells us that how Abraham Avinu became Abraham Avinu. Abraham Avinu had three character traits. The first one that Pirkei Avot tells us Abraham Avinu had was Ayin Tova. Abraham Avinu, the reason Abraham Avinu became Abraham Avinu, he says, Rambam says that mi shemistapek bame sheyesh lo, is happy to what they have. Right? In other words, it's not that you shouldn't want more, it's what I have today, I'm happy. Tomorrow I have more, I'm happy tomorrow too. Next day I have more, I'm happy then too. It's not that this is that's it, I don't want anymore. I want. And that's what the human being should be. They should always, they should go forward and have more and want more, but what I have today, I'm happy. But how do you get there? The way you get there is, Rav Avigdor Miller says, that you have to be makir tov. If you have a sense of appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to what Hashem gave us, be happy, and then everything comes in our way, be happy. We appreciate it. We asking Hashem, we looking at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and saying thank you to what you gave us. And therefore, it says, Rav Avigdor Miller also says that this is the pshat in the Pirkei Avot, Ezeu Ashir Asameyach Vechelko. Who is considered wealthy? Somebody is happy to what they have. He says, Rambam says, it doesn't mean that Ashir, he says, I don't want to become Ashir, I don't want to become wealthy. Ashir means that I'm happy to what I have today, but I want to go forward and I want to have more tomorrow and I'm going to look for more, but by every day I'm happy to what I have. If you also look at the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon, what did Hashem do with Adam HaRishon? The first thing, He put him in Gan Eden. Why did He put him in Gan Eden? Because Hashem wanted Adam HaRishon to see the most beautiful thing that exists in the face of the world. And he should know when Hashem is gonna kick him out, what did he miss? What we need to understand, Abotai, that If a person is not appreciated to what they have, and they are not going to be happy to what they have, they are going to put in a situation that they are forced to be happy. And how is that going to happen? You're going to see the opposite of that, and because of that, you're going to sense the appreciation, and you are going to be happy. And this is what the Tachat, Asher lo avadta et Hashem Elokecha besimcha. That means, tachat means, instead of, you weren't happy, this is what happened to you. And in other words, Hashem is going to put us in a situation, weren't you happy to what I gave you? I'm going to put you in a much worse situation, that you come to realization that what you had was unbelievable. That's what simcha means. So if we don't appreciate what we got, we are going to be forced to appreciate it. Either you do it by your will, or you are going to be forced to do it. And Bnei Yisrael, when a person does not have the appreciation, a karat atov, a sense of gratitude, either to human beings, to people, or to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to anything. Gratitude is the first step of having the simcha. Because if you don't believe that you owe anybody anything, right, you're never going to be the simcha, because you are in charge. We are not in charge. We are not running the world. There is somebody running the world. And somebody does something good for us, we have to appreciate it. Now, all that is very easy to say. It's very easy to say that everybody should be happy, everybody should do the simcha, everybody should go dance, and everybody should get drunk, and let's be happy all day long. Right? As they say, happy go lucky. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do. But how do you do it? What are the steps that a person should take in order to get to that level? Chovat HaLevavot says that people that they are depressed, the reason they are depressed because they don't have a karat hatov. They don't have a sense of gratitude. That's what Chovat HaLevavot says. And that's a very strong statement. Because if we think about it, first of all, it's true. It's 100% true. When you don't have a karat hatov, and you think that a person normally doesn't have a karat hatov because he thinks or she thinks everybody owes them. They don't owe anybody anything. When you believe that everybody owes you, you're always depressed. Because people didn't appreciate you. And if we don't appreciate other people are not going to appreciate us. And in order to be happy, that's the number one thing that we have to work on ourselves. We have to have the sense of a karat hatov. We have to have a sense of gratitude. We have to have a sense of appreciating people and appreciating things around us. Appreciation is not only about thanking somebody that did something for us. Appreciation is not about somebody did beautiful thing for us. Appreciation is about things. People get up in the morning, they have a beautiful day. We have to be appreciate that. If we appreciate that, then we are the simcha. We don't appreciate that. Why today is cloudy? What do you care? Some people are upset. Why the day is cloudy? What can you do about it? Why are you upset? And it's too hot. The upset is too hot. Or the upset is too cold. Rainy, snowy. Who cares? Why are you upset? Why don't you look at the bright side of being cloudy and rainy and sunny? Look at the bright side of it. And that's the lack of a karat hatov. Why? Because if you appreciate a Kadosh Baruch Hu that he created the cloudy day, you look at the world is cloudy day too. When the day is raining, the world is rain too. I'm happy that it's raining. When it's sunny and hot, the world needs heat. That's the way we have to appreciate to what we have. Look at the side that is going to give us appreciation. How do we do that? There's two suggestions. One is argashat simcha v'hatzlacha. What does that mean? That means that a person should notice every small thing that you do in life and pat yourself in the back. Not pat anybody, pat yourself. Let's say somebody wants to become executive of a big company. The first job you get is to drive the truck. You got into the company, pat yourself, be happy. I got in something in the company, I did something. When you're happy that it's even small things that you get, you are appreciating yourself that you did something with yourself, you have the simcha. Do you know why one of the things lack of simcha people have is their goal is an unbelievable goal. If I don't get there, I'm not happy. But what about small things, small steps that we take in life? We should be happy about those too. Those are beautiful. Why can't we pat ourselves in the back? Why should we be happy about ourselves? When we do something and we are happy that something happened, I didn't reach my goal, nishkefela, who cares? Nobody, who cares? I did something. I took a step. Number two, argashat ana'ah. That means that we should draw benefit, we should take a pleasure of everything around us. If you take these two steps and pat yourself in the back for every small detail that happens in our life and take a pleasure of everything around us, I guarantee you're never going to be depressed. You're always going to be happy. Because that's what our life is about. Our life is either we are not, we have a lack of getting pleasure of things around us, and we don't think that we did enough. Nobody thinks that they did enough. Everybody thinks that they need to do more. That's beautiful. We need to do more. There's nothing wrong. But if a small thing that you do, it's first step that you take, pat yourself in the head, Baruch, and this is unbelievable. It's tremendous. We don't think that way. And the second thing that the person should do, that we have an obligation, that we have to make our mishpacha, our family happy too. Fathers and mothers, they have an obligation. The Gemara tells us that yechabed ishto ubanav yoter mimah sheyesh lo. As a person, a father, a man in the family, and that mother also towards the children, they have to do whatever they can to provide for their family. That doesn't mean only monetary, that means in any formal way that you could make your family happy and comfortable, you have an obligation to do it. And that includes that you have to make sure that your family has happiness. It's not only about money. What can you do to make your family comfortable and happy? And that includes, Rabbi Victor Miller says, that includes that you have to make sure that they are not depressed and they are not under pressure, and that means that they are happy and they are enjoying life. That's the job of a parent towards their children. What Rabbi Victor Miller gives two suggestions. He says the first thing a person should do every day when you sit down to eat, take 2 minutes of your time, think to how much chasadim, how much good we have, and look at those beautiful things and be happy. Every time before you eat, spend a minute of your time and think about that. And number two, that this is a person should do, every day before you walk into your house, should stay outside and think that you have an obligation to make sure your family is happy, and how you are going to reach that goal. What are you going to do to make sure that your family is comfortable and happy? These are two things a person should do before you go into your house and before you sit down eat. This is the two practical suggestions that Rabbi Avigdor Miller gives that we need to do it. Now I want to talk about a few other things, few different ideas about happiness. First of all, what's the difference between leitzanut and bedichut adat? The leitzanut is making jokes and laugh and no point to it. Bedichut adat is humor. The Rav Volvo Aleh Shor says that to have a bedichut adat humor is an obligation. You have to have that. It's not a good idea. You have to have humor, and it's part of a person's life. How do we know that? There's a story in the Gemara, Masechet Ta'anit. Gemara says, Rabbi Barka, one time he met Eliyahu HaNavi. And he asked Eliyahu HaNavi, who is in this marketplace has Olam Haba? Eliyahu HaNavi said, there are two people in this marketplace that they have Olam Haba. So Rabbi Barka said, who are these two people? So he went to these people and said, what do you do? What's your job? What do you do that you guys get to go to Olam Haba? Eliyahu HaNavi even testifies to that. Why only two? Why you? He said, our job is, we are batchanim. Right? We, when anybody is upset or is sad or they are depressed, we go and make a joke and we have humor to them, we sit there and we laugh with them, we take them out of their depression, and we get them happy and we get them laugh. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, they are the people getting people out of their misery. They are the Olam Haba. So Rav Aleh Shor of Volvo says, you see from the Gemara that to have an humor is not something, you know, is a nice idea. Sense of humor is a must. You have to have a sense of humor. You have to get people to laugh. You have to get people. I'm not talking about leitzanut. I'm not talking to make joke and make fun of people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having sense of humor, proper sense of humor. Because when you have that, even towards your family, towards your friends, towards your mishpacha and wife, children, sense of humor is a must in a Jew's life. Because that brings bedichut adat, that brings a person to look at life in a different way. A person, Adam, is in nature, cannot be depressed. Why? Because the neshama of a person comes from Makom Kedusha. It comes from a holy place. You know the Arizal. Arizal was one of the biggest mekubalim that we ever had. There's nobody gets to the level of Arizal than New Kabbalah. And he was so close to understanding the whole Torah. And do you know how Arizal became Arizal? He says himself, because he had Simcha. He said the reason Arizal became Arizal was because calls the man every time, every minute of the day, he was happy. Now we have to understand, Arizal doesn't mean he didn't have problems in life. Doesn't mean that. He died very young and he had a lot of tzarot in life. There's nobody in the world that doesn't have problems. Does not exist. Everybody in some form or shape got problems. Arizal was one of them too. But he says he was able to have Ruach HaKodesh. He was able to have connection to Eliyahu HaNavi and to Hashem only because he had Simcha. And the reason he had that because his neshama was connected to that mekor. It was that source of kedusha, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Hashem created us to be there. He put us in this world for that purpose. And then as I said at the beginning, it's our nature to be. If you are not happy, it's against your nature. You're going against what you are and who you are, and you are fighting to what who you are supposed to be. Because you are supposed to be happy. You are supposed to enjoy life. And if you don't do that, they are going against it, against everything. So now, the question is why people, they do everything and still they don't feel they are happy. They do everything. They say everything. They do this. They do this. They do that. They followed everything that they told them, and they did everything they are supposed to. But still, they don't feel it. The reason is one of the biggest problem of that is that either people are fighting to become like somebody else, which is very wrong. Right? And because you are always fighting, why can't I be like my neighbor? Why can't I be like my friend? Why can't I be like my brother? Why can't I be like my sister? You always have somebody, something to look for. But that's not a proper way of looking in life. A person should go forward and want to have elevation, not because they want to be like somebody else. They want to do it because that's the right thing to do, not because they want to copy somebody and to become like somebody else. Number two, when you do more than your potentials are, then you get also in trouble. A person should know what their potentials are. If you go over your potential and you want to become something that you are not, then you're going to fall into depression. Everybody has to know what is their potential. You have to understand where you're supposed to be, and don't push yourself. If you push yourself more than you are supposed to, then you also get into trouble. And people that they always look at their chisronot in life. They always look at, I got this problem and that problem and this problem. They know how to count all the problems. But they never know how to count their aslachot, their beautiful, their successes. Right? They never be successful. And the last thing that brings a simcha to a person, if people have ego. If you have ego, you are never going to be happy. Person has to be humble, and they have to bring themselves down, and they can't be always looking up. I'm the best guy after God. I'm the best person in the world. That's ego. That's ga'ava. When a person has that, they are never going to get what they need to get. Therefore, people that they have this, they are lacking something serious. And if you follow all these things, then I want to give you a few ideas that we need to work on this. One, learning brings simcha to people. When you are learning Torah, women also they learn Torah, by the way. I'm not talking that women also could learn Torah. There's nothing wrong with learning Torah. You get parasha, there's so much you could learn. Listen to tapes. Learning Torah brings a lot of joy and happiness to us. Number two, a person should never be isolated. They should have a chevra. They should have friends. Right friends. You always should have a friend that they should encourage you to go up and to make more of yourself. people that they should always look at your aslachot before they should look at the beauties that you have, not chisronot, not things that you are lacking. If you have people like that, you're always going to be besimcha. Number three, you always should be active. People that they sitting doing nothing, they also even I don't care. You want to bag groceries in Kroger, that's also fine. Do something. You want to volunteer, you want to work, don't want to get paid, that's fine. Whatever it is, te'ilut, when people work and do things, that makes a pedagogy. Pirkei Avot tells us that. Right? People are batel, they betela, they sit, do nothing, they get all the problems in the world. Number four, listen to music. And then I'm talking about right music. I'm not talking about the music that you are not supposed to listen to. Music that have meanings, and the music Shirei Kodesh. And music that they have beautiful, and they have so they encourage people to strive and become better. Number five, you should take one mitzvah and be good at that one mitzvah, and whenever you feel down, do that mitzvah. And when you do that mitzvah, and you do it, and all that thing is one thing that you care about. And whenever you feel you are down, just hang on to this. Right? It could be anything. It could be davening. It could say tehillim. It could be that you answer amen. You make a brach. Whatever it is. That one mitzvah that you have, it always encourages you to become better. And you never fall. You never are depressed. And number six, you always should tell yourself, whenever you do a good thing, say, Baruch Hashem, today I did unbelievable things today. I was zoche, I had a merit that I was able to do a mitzvah today. And say it. Tell yourself that I did this and this and this and that. And count. Write down or remember. At the end of the day, before I go to sleep, you know what I did today? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you really count every small thing that you did, it's tremendous. Do you know how many things you do good during a day? Or you don't even recognize? But how many bad things you did, everybody remembers. How many wrong things we did, we remember that. But how many good things we did, nobody remembers. But if you remember every day, how many good, how many people I helped, how many chassadim I did, how much tzedakah I gave, how many times I was supposed to say Lashon Hara and I didn't. I stopped myself to talk. Somebody was talking to me, I closed my eyes or I hang up the phone. How many times I was supposed to be in wrong place and I didn't. And how many times I was supposed to look at wrong stuff and I didn't. And how many times I should have done Avera and I didn't. Do you know what a mitzvah is that? By not doing it in the mitzvah. Forget about doing. Even you don't do that, that by itself is considered a mitzvah. And if you count all that and you put it down and think about it, it's a tremendous amount of things to do every day. That brings a person that you elevate yourself, and you elevate your attitude, and you become a better person. And when you become a person, you have a character talk to yourself. I'm unbelievable. When you think of yourself, you are unbelievable, and you do so much good, and you could do so much good, and that brings up that what better joy than this? That's the best joy a person could have. You don't have to look somewhere else. You don't have to drink arak to become happy. You could become happy that they would like just patting yourself. Now, there are even few things that we do that The Halakha tells us, we spoke about this so many different times, that sometimes a person should cry. Sha'arei dema'ot enam nin'alim. We said that the gates of tears never close up. Person should cry. Sometimes we also have during Tisha B'Av, right? We say that the person should have avelut, mourn over Churban Bet HaMikdash, the destruction of Bet HaMikdash. How could you do that? If the halacha is that you have to be besimcha all the time, how could you have a time that you have to cry and you have to mourn and you have to do things that brings asvut, brings depression, brings sadness to us? The Arizal says there are two levels to do teshuva. There's one level of crying and be upset and be sorry to what we did. That's one way. There's the better way of do teshuva, to be happy and do teshuva. In other words, when a person wants to do teshuva, you shouldn't kill yourself. Oh, I did this wrong and I did that wrong. What am I going to do? I'm going to sit down, I'm going to cry, and I'm going to bang my head against the wall. What did I do? That's one way of doing it. But what's the better way of doing that? Be happy that I'm able to do teshuva. That's a happy. That's a much better way of doing teshuva. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes one of his teshuvot. It says, somebody, a lady, went to Rav Moshe Feinstein and she wrote a letter to him, and he said, she said that I want to ask you to show me a derech teshuva. And she specifies what did she do wrong, and I did this and I did that, and everything that she did wrong. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, forget about everything that you did everything wrong, you sorry did wrong, be happy that you are able to do teshuva. That's the best teshuva that you could have. People think that in order to do teshuva, they have to close themselves in a room and fast and bang their head against and cry. That's not the way to do teshuva. Teshuva is, I'm sorry and happy that I'm able to do it. That's what teshuva means. And when it comes to mourn over the Tamikdash, it's very interesting. Gemara tells us, Meshenichnas av Mema'atin besimcha. What does that mean? When Chodesh Av comes, reduce the simcha. The Mishnah doesn't tell us that you don't have simcha. You reduce the level. You still have to be besimcha. Even when the Bet HaMikdash was destroyed, you mourn over the Bet HaMikdash. You cannot completely take away the simcha from your life. Even then, you have to have a little bit of simcha. Even then, you have to be happy. You see that even there's nothing in the eyes of Chazal, Bet HaMikdash was the most important thing that we ever had. Even more over the Churban Bet HaMikdash, Chazal, they don't tell us that you have to completely get rid of Simcha. Another idea of reaching the goal is that the person should be happy in the situation that you are today. It's very important. We are living in a time that people don't have jobs, or they lost their jobs, or parnasa is not as easy as it was before, or it's hard to make money, or they lost their retirement account, or they invested with this Madoff guy, whatever it is. People lost money. You have to make up with the situation that you are in today. And you'll be happy to what it is today. If something happens more, beautiful. But what I have today, I'm happy to what it is today. There is a reason for it, and I should be happy to what I have. If I could get better stuff later, that's fine too. Another way of noticing that is Rav Noach Weinberg. That's all. You know, he has a book that Memchet, there are 48 ways that Rabbi Weinberg is a tape. If you could get the sales of the tape, listen to it, it's fantastic. He says one of the ways that a person should reach the goal of Pesimcha is that you all, every day, when you get up in the morning, you should look at your hand, your feet, your eyes, your nose, and say, Baruch Hashem, I have everything. And thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you have a hand, you have a feet, you have everything. Another thing that he says, that nothing in life is hard. You know, people, they get so upset when their child cries. I've seen that. I've seen people, they get out of control and their children start crying, and they cry themselves. And they like the world came down. But why are you looking at that part of the crying? Why don't you look at Baruch Hashem of the baby? So when I go to a bris, mothers are very sensitive, especially when they're doing the bris. The mothers don't want to be there, they stay outside. Later on I'm going to show them how to take care of the baby. They cry. I always said that to the mothers. I said, let me tell you something. That should be the worst thing happened to your child today. And I said to the baby, I pick up the baby, I said to the baby, this cry should be your worst cry that you have today. And the mother says, you know what? You're right. That should be the worst thing that happens to a baby. Look at the beautiful side of it. When we have children, and we have, or bad neighbors, right? They have issues with parents or in-laws, whatever it is. Look at the good side of it and don't accept it the way it is. And when you accept it, you have a much better shot at making up with it than fighting it. Another thing that we have to pay attention to, we need to learn how to enjoy life. You have to take vacation. You have to go out. You have to enjoy life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this world to enjoy it. Hashem didn't give us this world to sit there and not to look at the nature and be happy. When somebody passes away, children say Kaddish. What's the purpose of Kaddish? Why do we say Kaddish? People think Kaddish is for the departed. It's not true. Kaddish has nothing to do with the departed. The Kaddish is for us. Kaddish, if you look at the meaning of the Kaddish, Kaddish means that how you people, that you are alive, how should you enjoy life? That when you enjoy life and you appreciate the world that you are in, you're giving the best nachat to people that they are departed. Because you are enjoying this world and you are appreciating Hashem's world. When you do that, the people that they died, they look and said, Baruch, we are accomplishing something. That's the best nachat that you could give to the departed. Therefore, to us, we as people, we have to be able to enjoy life and go out and look at the world and look at the beautiful things and say, why not? From Jews, you're gonna look at me and say, I can't go to restaurants, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, I don't. What about if I give you 50 other things that we can do? There are so much we can do. And we could be so happy and enjoy life. Why don't we take the opportunity and possibility of enjoying life? And we do that, your man must become a different human being. And the last thing I want to tell you is the verse. En simcha kehatarat sefekot. As remember this, write it down. En simcha kehatarat sefekot. There is no bigger joy in life than you have no doubt in life. What does that mean? How do you get there? It's a beautiful verse. I don't know where this comes from, but it's said a lot of times in suffering. That means that if a person has a Rav, a person is connected to a Rosh Hashiva, a person is connected to the Torah, you're never going to have doubt in life at all about anything. In Simcha Ke HaTorah Sefer Kot, you're never going to be, when people, most of the time, that people are upset and they don't know what to do with themselves because they don't know how to make decisions. And decisions that we make in life, it has to be, we don't know, am I making the right thing? Am I making the wrong decision? Is it this good? Is this bad? Is it good for my family? Is it that good? We don't know. And because of that, we fall in. We don't know what to do. In Simcha Kahatarat Sefekot, there is no bigger Simcha that I'm sure this way that I'm doing the best way that I could be. The only way you could do that is you're connected to Torah. If you look at it, this is what the Torah said I should do. This is what the Torah said. Hashem told me to do this. If Hashem comes to you, say, listen, you have a problem? Go here. Do this. Do that. Now, I don't know how many of you remember, 23 years ago, we had a problem, should divide this house or not. The DeKalb County had problems with us, and did this and that. We didn't know what to do. We managed at trouble, we lost so much sleep. I went to my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Weinberg, and I said, what should I do? Should I buy it? I don't care. Don't tell me DeKalb County. Yes or no? That's all I want to know. He said, go buy it. I didn't ask any question. I went and bought the money, bought the house. That's it. That was the end of the story. And for 23 years, the cab company cannot close the house. They can't do anything. There's nothing they can do. But how you tell me how, why? Because you listen to the Torah. You listen to the Da'at of Chachamim. You believe in the Torah. When you believe in the Torah, then everything works out. I tell you a story happened in Bnei Barak. 70 years ago, there was a man that, around the World War II, this Jew was married and they had a child, and they went through, you know, the Holocaust, and this man lost his wife. And him and his son, they hide in this goyishman of this lady for during the war, and they finally, after the war, they were saved. This man gets married to this lady that saved them. It's a goy. After the war, they come to America, and they have another child, they have another son. Now the son from the Jew, from the first wife, Jew, and the second son from the Goyish wife, which is not Jewish. And this man comes to America, becomes very, very successful. And he dies. Eventually he dies, and he leaves $50 million as a Yerusha. The $50 million that he writes in his will, that I want you to divide between both of you. You get 25 million, you get 25 million. This boy, the first one, becomes true. And he lives in Eretz Israel, $25 million, and it's a tremendous amount of money. He goes to his brother, his Goyish brother, and says to him, you know, our father died, he was Jewish, I want to make sure that he gets a Jewish burial. I want him to be buried in a Jewish cemetery. He says, I don't care about no Jewish cemetery, I don't care, this is what I'm going to do, I'm not going to worry about that. I want him to be buried next to my mother, and this is what's going to be, I'm not going to budge on that, there's no choice. He said, he tries every possible way to make him to believe that he's a Jew. What do you want? That doesn't go for it. The end is, listen, I give you $100,000. Let my father be buried in Jewish cemetery. He says no. And Imamash doesn't know, he has no way of dealing with this. He goes to Eretz Yisrael, he goes to Arab Eliashiv. The boy, the brother, half-brother said, the only way I'm going to let you bury your father in Jewish cemetery to be mochel the $25 million. It's a nisayon, it's a mamash, a test. It's unbelievable. He went to Eretz Israel, went to Rav Zilberstein, and then he went to Rav Eliashiv. As I said, am I obligated to give up that $25 million in order for my father to be buried in a Jewish cemetery? So what do you would you ask even a shayla? You wouldn't even say, I'm sorry, you're talking about an unbelievable amount of money for somebody that could be settled for three generations later. He went and asked a shayla. And they said that you have to make sure your father buried in the Jewish cemetery. And he gave up $25 million that his father should be buried in the Jewish cemetery. So, and this guy fall depression? No. He went, he followed the Torah. He followed the Halacha. Another mess happened in Bnei Barak. This girl that when she was a young child, she was walking with his mother in the street. Her mother used to steal stuff. She became frum. The child became frum, and the mother, lot of stuff that she stole from the stores. Every time she went to store with her mother used to pick up stuff from the stores and put it in her pocket. Now they became frum. She became frum, and the mother died. She said, "I want to give this stuff back to the people." The other brothers and sisters, they said, "We don't care, that's not our problem." And she also had to be mochel, the Yerusha, her part, in order for the stuff to be given back to the original owner. And she asked the shayla, so that's what they had to do. You understand what this is? This is En Simcha Ke'atarat Satekot. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you wouldn't ask a shayla with $25 million. And you would let your father to be buried in a Goyish cemetery. How would you feel? You couldn't live with yourself for the rest of your life. And if you had a situation that you could have, you were able to fix your mother's name, your mother was a Ganav for who knows how many years, and now you could give back everything she stole and make her a makom in Gan Eden. And you said, "Why should I give up my Yerusha? I don't want to give my inheritance. I want to have the money." But you had a chance to do it now. And if you wouldn't do it, how would you live with yourself? You have a problem. Should I do this or should I do that? The only way you could follow, you could do, is to ask a Da'at Torah. If you ask a Halacha, you ask a Rab, you ask a Chacham, you ask a Rosh Hashir, you ask a Gadol, what should I do? What's the best way of doing this? That you follow the Da'at Torah. En Simcha Ke'atarat Safekot. There is no bigger simcha in life, there is no better joy in life, that you have no doubt in life. You have no doubt, did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? How should I sleep at night? What should I worry about it? Maybe I didn't do that, maybe I did it. You don't, every day, you go back and forth, maybe I did that, maybe I didn't do right. Therefore, it's important that everybody should have a Rav. Should have a, I'm talking about a real Rav. Have to have a Rav that you could somechan, and you could ask a she'ela, and you could follow the Da'at Torah. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should help us, that all of us should have a proper simcha, follow the guidelines of our Chachamim. We are able to have the proper simcha. Question.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.